Welcome to a
Blog
moment
with Talk Radio.
Welcome to a moment with self. I'm honored and pleased to host this program as often as it has been possible and to bring you, my dear listeners, some thoughts or ideas that may be helpful in changing the outlooks on life or even finding more tools in grounding ourselves in more reliable and comfortable conditions. One of the issues that continuously has come to my practice and I've witnessed how devastating it is for people of different genders, different ages, different cultures, different colors and ethnicities is sexual tension. Sexual tension can have many different sources, such as abuses, traumas, heartbreaks, unmet needs, unshared secrets, even it could be as simple as misunderstandings or comparing ourselves with others. In order to open up this subject and find ways to heal such a huge burden on the mind, body, and emotion and the well-being of a person, I've asked a very dear friend of mine who is also a very accomplished actor with over 100 episodes of TV and film to his credit, to join me and you, dear listeners, to bring his vast knowledge of sexual healing to us and share what he knows and he has learned about this tension and experience in his clients and people that he has dealt with. My friend's name is Rahi Chan, and I have the pleasure of having him online. And let me just introduce you to him. Hello, Rahi.
Hello, Daniel, Dr. Daniel. Pleasure to be here and to be available for all your listeners today.
I'm so glad that we have you online. And, it's been a privilege knowing you all these years that I know you. And the more I have got to know you, the more I've realized what depth of knowledge and understanding you bring to this world and to the people that you work with. And I really want to congratulate you for the work that you've done for yourself and for the people that you've helped.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think like you, I feel like a call to service, and it's definitely a privilege and a pleasure, and my clients teach me as much as I can teach them, for sure.
I was going to give you a full introduction and read your credential and everything else that I know about you, but I felt I would be more sincere and understanding if it comes from yourself, with you sharing with our listeners why you're here, why I have invited you, what is it that you're bringing to our listeners in regards with sexual healing, with somatic influences of sexual tension and traumas in our bodies and the ways that we can release them. So please go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your practice and what has driven you to this point to be able to give guidance and help to so many other people.
Sure, thanks. Well, as Daniel knows, I was born, I came out of my mother's womb with severely crooked legs. Instead of being straight, they were crooked and deformed. And the doctors at the time in New York City, they suggested to perform surgery on my infant knees as a newborn. Now, my mom, being a registered nurse, knew that that was a mistake. And instead, she massaged my legs every night for 3 years. And eventually, my legs grew out straight and very strong. I was always the tallest student in all of my classes up until high school. And I think that is a direct result of the intentional touch that I received from her. So I was always fascinated with touch and the healing powers of intentional touch. As a young adult, my fascination with healing really took me on three different tracks. I was very interested in sexological body work, that is how to release trauma and repressed emotions from the tissues and musculature of the body for healing. I was also very fascinated with counseling and psychology, and I've always been a lover of meditation. So from an early age in my young adulthood, I found a school in Oakland called the Body Electric, and they really focused on the conscious use of breath, sound, and movement to generate and circulate sexual energy with the intention of healing. And it just blew my mind. I was 24 at the time. I wanted to learn everything about it. I found a Taoist master, Montauk Chia, deepened my practices in Taoist sexual healing, and then found a woman named Margot Anon, who is credited for introducing Tantra to the West. She wrote a book called The Art of Sexual Ecstasy. I completed her teacher's training in 2001, and the first level of her whole training has to do with clearing the pelvic floor of any past trauma, repressed emotions, or muscular armoring in order to be present to the intimacy with your partner. So over the years...
Profound way of dealing with it.
It really is, and it's a very direct way. I was fascinated with the technology and the results that I saw amongst people in my class and people in the program. It was really mind blowing. It really is, at the end of the day, inviting our presence back to the sensations and feelings and inhabiting our bodies before a trauma forced us to leave it.
Let me stop you for a second. You use the word that I often find very confusing for most people, you know, the word sensation. You know, I often find that, you know, people are mixing up feelings, emotions, and sensations, which are three different, you know, identifiable body sensations, but again, mm-hmm. we commonly use the word sensation for both feeling and emotion also. I want you to explain that a little bit more to our listeners. When you talk about sensation, what is it that you're really meaning?
That's a great question. So when I speak about sensation, I'm talking about, for example, a heat, a burning feeling. It could be numbness. It could be a pain. These are all sensations. Now, in the work that I do, these muscular contractions that show up as pain or numbness, underneath them are emotions that have been unresolved or unexpressed. And those emotions are more like sadness, fear, grief, or anger, which is very different than temperature or
pain or even
exactly.
Now I think with when you may agree with me that when we're talking about sensation, there really are five senses, you know, the sense of touch, the sense of smell, the sense of vision. So those senses are at the core of our connection with the world inside from the outside. So when we talk about sensation, heat or, you know, pain or any other kind of sensation, aren't they the connectivity of what we have experienced from the outside sources to what is happening from the impression of those information on the internal body?
Yeah, you could definitely interpret it that way. They can be looked at as an access way to the emotions underneath those sensations.
Great. So now we are into the emotions that are under those sensations.
Yes. A critical part of the work that I do as far as releasing contractions in the form of pain or numbness from the pelvic region also involves being present to the unresolved or the repressed feelings underneath that inevitably come up. And it's very important to be present to those repressed emotions and allow them to wash through in order to get to the other side and be free of them.
So it's stagnant energy that is staying there dormant, and now through the work that you are doing, so they have the opportunity of getting released.
Yes, and oftentimes they are emotions that the client may not be aware of by their, you know, consciously. You know, as we know, a lot of trauma, sexual abuse, a lot of those memories get tucked away, And you know, we have very skillful avoidance strategies to not have to deal with them.
Correct. So the unresolved emotions, the emotions that we have probably as a child or even as a young adult, or even as an adult, we might have not dealt with adequately and, you know, with intention of dealing with them. So we have kind of brushed them under the rug, we've put them aside, and they're not in our presence. They're not accessible to us. So they're sitting there waiting for ways to show up, and while they don't have any other way of showing up, they can pressure us into reactivity or more pain and pressure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to say, I want to point out that key reason why those emotions stay repressed and unexplored is because a part of us has left feeling and living in our bodies.
So actually,
the more we are...
We've escaped from dealing with the reality, so we kind of have dissociated from them. Do I have you, Rahi? So I think I lost you, and I hope that you can call again on the line. Meanwhile, I will just go ahead and give a little bit of more information about the possibilities that we have as this emotional stagnation is inside of us. Like what Rahi does in his work, in my work as a psychologist, through EMDR, we are accessing those information that have been not addressed in the past, and they're under. So we are able to bring more awareness through a work like what Rahi does and EMDR through the body, through the experience of the body, and be able to release those pressures. So I think I have Rahi back online.
Yeah.
Rahi, are you there?
Unfortunately,
we had a disconnection with you, and I was just explaining how EMDR similarly, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, it's a bilateral movement that in my work, you know, we go through finding those emotions that are forgotten or not released, and once the client can access them, now we can do something about them. So continue, please.
Well, it's really critical that we live in our bodies, and it's, you know, there's a phrase that I love, which is the issues are in our tissues. Our bodies have a muscular memory that remembers everything, and when it comes to experiences that are uncomfortable, little children are so great at feeling it, and then it's not in their bodies anymore because they've completely cried it out or yelled it out or felt it, and as adults, we need to revisit these feelings in order to be on them. And inhabiting, living in our bodies is a huge step in that direction.
Yeah, so where we cut off was that the dissociation happens because the pressures are sometimes so big or so devastating that instead of dealing with them, we have subconsciously decided not to deal with them, so we're checking out of our bodies and we're not accessing our body's emotional sensations, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it could be something as innocent as not, you know, having a long-term boyfriend that you love, but you don't really want to have sex with him, but you do it anyway. Then a lot of times you will leave your body because your heart's not really in it. And what happens over time is that there's a numbness that starts to develop that desensitizes areas of your pelvis and your vagina that are designed to be pleasurable. And I have clients who've been with, you know, boyfriends for 7 years or longer who should have gotten out in the first year but didn't. And as a result, they have desensitized areas of their body that are meant to be pleasurable.
And in men, I notice them as, you know, lack of sexual desire or kind of not feeling comfortable in the arousal. So there are different ways of showing it in men, I guess.
There's so many different ways. I mean, every client is so incredibly special and unique in their sexual history. You know, what I see a lot is pairing that happens in their childhood, whether it's a man or a woman. Like in your example, if it's a man who doesn't have interest in it, it could be fear. For example, when a man was a boy, there could have been, you know, I have a friend who does the same work that I do, who works with men. And she has a client who, when he was a boy, his grandfather forced him to have sex with older women, older girls. So he felt disempowered with sexuality, and that's the pairing that was created. So as an adult, he doesn't want to go near it because he's got these childhood memories of feeling disempowered.
Right, and I've had cases that, you know, men who don't seem much interested in their wives or other women, and they don't have frequent sex, once we start working in EMDR and getting to the, you know, back stories, we see that this boy has been molested as a child or has been put in compromising situations, and he wouldn't even remember that. But physiologically, mm-hmm. and as you said, the sense memory of the muscles and the body and the cells are not allowing him to release that tension that he's experienced as a child. Thus, you know, as an adult now, he doesn't enjoy a good sexual relationship.
Exactly, exactly. So it could be any number of pairings or associations that happen when an adult is young or even an adolescent. But the good news is that any kind of pairing can be, their reassociation or a corrective repatterning can be done quite easily.
I agree. You know, the tools are there if the person finds those tools and, you know, starts using them.
Exactly, exactly. And in the work that I do, a lot of my work involves that corrective repatterning. If there was a patterning, I have been, for example, one of my clients, when she was a child, she had a nanny figure who was loving but also abused her. And so she paired this, she used to submit her to just to terrible situations. So she paired love and being submissive. So as an adult, she can only climax when she fantasizes about being submissive. So our work involves repairing the sexuality with feeling safe and sacred and honored so that she can be present and have the intimate relationship that she wants with her boyfriend.
I think what you address is a lot of the fetishes are that way. You know, people ask me often, you know, what are fetishes? And, you know, it's very hard for them to understand that this pairing is something that has happened a long time ago, since they don't even know that this pairing has happened. They have no idea why they like toes or like why they like, you know, as you said, being submissive or dominant, you know, so they have no idea where these fetishes are coming from.
Absolutely, and that's where the importance of counseling comes in. Like in my process, I do a very thorough intake to understand where the roots of these pairings come from. As an example, there's one client who loves guys who rides motorcycles, but they're never around because they're always riding somewhere else. And in the intake, it was revealed that as a child, she only felt a deep connection with her father, who was a mechanic, when she was in the garage with him, and there was the smell of grease paint everywhere. So as an adult now, she loves the smell of grease paint. But these things can't be discovered unless there's a thorough intake and understanding of how these things develop and how these associations get paired.
And going back to the word sensation, you see how even the sense of smell is a sense that can take us or dissociate us from, you know, whatever that has happened in the past.
The sense of smell is powerful, and especially for women. I think women are much more attuned to the sense of smell, and it can trigger you back to a memory, either positive or negative. To your point about fetishes, there's a huge difference between preferring toes or a certain cloth material or the smell of grease, and having to have it in order to climax. So one
right.
is a choice, one is a preference, and one you're almost bound
exactly.
To a certain and that can be very, very unhealthy and dangerous.
Exactly. So it becomes like another addiction. You know, we never approve of addictions of any kind. So when we are paired in a way with alcohol or drugs or sex, you know, in a certain way, that is not healthy. And, you know, we really need to look into it and find out how we can change this pattern to a new pattern that's more in tune with our best potential for being happy and successful and healthy.
Exactly. And to your point, I mean, practices like EMDR or EFT, the repatterning work that I do, these are all available for people to become aware of the unhealthy association and choose a healthier, happier association, whether it's with sexuality or with love.
But unfortunately, Rai, you know, many of us do not seek that kind of help until we really deep into these situations that are almost impossible to go back to. So my suggestion to all of our listeners is that if you have any signs or any times that you feel that something needs to be addressed or checked, doing it much earlier is much better than later, because the work is less, it's easier, and the pattern can be adjusted much sooner.
Yes, absolutely. And to know that there's no shame in seeking help. It's a form of self-support, and to talk about it openly and discuss it is a very healthy thing.
I'm glad that you brought up that word, you know, shame again, you know, because shame is one of those feelings, emotions that really separates us from our best potentials and how we can be. Since that shame is so internalized in regard with certain situations or certain misunderstandings, we are doing ourselves disservice, and we are not able to follow the right or the appropriate path to a better situation in our lives. So how can we deal with shame in your approach?
Well, I actually work with a lot of clients who do feel shame either about, I mean, the biggest, I think one of the biggest crimes is when children are abused or violated, they think it's their fault. And so they carry around this shame. The work that I do, because it is hands-on body work, it tends to melt any stigmas they have around either body image or shaming around sexuality. It's really facilitating an experience where they feel their own embodiment, the pleasure and joy and power of that. And that tends to oftentimes wash away the stigma of shame. So it's really coming home to the power of being in your body. That's a lot of what I do and what I see.
Great. So what are some of the reasons that clients come to you? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. It's the range is quite wide. I mean, on one hand, on the one end, I have a client who was sexually violated as a child. She's now in her 60s. She's always had pain lodged in her outer lips, her inner walls, so much so that she never really wanted a sexual intimate relationship. And now she's in her 60s. In four sessions, we have released most of that pain and numbness. So much so that for the first time in her life, she's very excited to have a sexually intimate relationship now in her 60s. So there are clients like that that want to release, and it doesn't have to be sexual violation. I have one client whose mother was very abusive emotionally to her, and she has stored how she has felt towards her mother in her pelvis. So it doesn't have to be a physiological violation. As I mentioned, a lot of it is reassociating and corrective repatterning. And frankly, I have some clients who have just never had their G-spots massaged or their interior spots massaged. These are areas that are built, they're rich reservoirs for pleasure, and a lot of it is educating clients as to how much their pelvis needs to be warmed up for these areas to be of pleasure and wholeness to be experienced. And then other clients who want to learn how to expand this life force energy throughout their entire body. So it's quite a wide range. It goes from clients who have been violated, clients who want to repattern different associations with sexuality, to clients who have a very healthy sexual life and want to learn how to expand that.
And I guess based upon what you just said, a lot of these women really have not had the full experience or the pleasure of a climax or really getting fully satisfied, correct?
That's very, very correct. I mean, I saw a statistic that said the average lovemaking experience in America is 7 minutes long. So, you know, in 7 minutes, a guy can reach his climax, but it takes so much longer for a woman's pelvic area to become aroused enough to really enjoy all the pleasure that her body was created to experience. So it's true. A lot of women, the other thing is, you know, there's so much emphasis in our culture on the clitoral area, which is wonderful because it is, you know, there's 8,000 nerves there and it's a part of the body that was built for pleasure. But there's not enough attention being placed on the G-spot and the interior spots, which have very, very powerful potential for a deeper orgasmic pleasure and wholeness for the body.
Well, and also I'm believing that a lot of that lack of connection to the pleasure centers is psychological, and that psychological dissociation that you called or the tension that I called, I think in women holds a lot more weight in not having them being able to have that full pleasure. In men, it's the sexual satisfaction is a lot more physical. But I believe in my work that women have to be also stimulated psychologically before that physiological stimulation can happen. So a lot of what we're discussing, you and I are discussing today, as those tensions or as those reservations in the body that you are working on release are psychological issues that are not addressed and they're not really touched. So because of that, connecting to that pleasure center is going to be almost impossible, correct?
You're absolutely right, because for a woman, safety is so important for a woman, there's a vigilance center in the brain that needs to be relaxed for the body to fully surrender into safety. And for a woman to fully surrender into her safety is a very, very vulnerable experience that involves a lot of trust. And as you point out, men and women were built very differently. I mean, the most important aspect to my practice isn't all the kind of schooling and techniques and approaches. It's really that sense of safety. I fully believe that when a space of safety is created and a client can surrender deeply, then the body knows how to heal itself. And as you point out, the areas of pleasure, the energy of pleasure really starts to flow on its own, but it really requires that deep trust and safety.
And that's another good word. Trust is something that if it's broken in early days or early years of childhood and even through life, making it back, it's very difficult. It needs more trust. It needs new experiences. It needs new pairing of a caregiver, or at least feeling like yourself, you can be a caregiver to yourself in order to remedy that flaw that has happened in the past. So the work becomes a much deeper work, that the person has to be so much trusting of self to promote and provoke that sense of safety and happiness once again.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Usually, It was a breach of that trust or safety that caused the physiological and emotional contraction. Usually it was a trusted person, an adult usually, or a loved one. And when a child is sexually violated, whether it's physiological, emotional, or, you know, I mean, it could be something as innocent as something like an adult showing a pornographic image to a child. If there is a breach of safety and trust, it is that the reestablishment of that sense of safety and trust that goes so far towards the healing.
Which takes me to the word balance. You know, we lose balance by exposure or not being able to fulfill certain needs, or by being overburdened through certain circumstances or conditions. Our sense of balance in many different ways are jeopardized. And I can segue to the work that you and I will be doing very soon on June 27th and 28th at Equinox in West Los Angeles on Sepulveda. I would like to address that a little bit deeper, since both of us are involved in healing of mind, body, and spirit in our own ways. I believe the joint program that you and I are doing about sex and money in the format of a two-day workshop, which is, this is a part of it. The workshop is called Total Balance, and I'm so happy that I'm doing this work with you, because you understand the need for balance. And as we're talking today about it, this need for balance in sexual organs of the body or mental aspects of sexuality is needed. We need this balance in many different aspects of life. And what we have done together is to put this program in order to bring balance in 8 different areas: physical, mental, emotional, relational, recreational, environmental, spiritual, and even self-worth, which is the total of everything that we're talking about. If we're not feeling worthy, if we're not feeling that we are good enough, if we're not feeling that we are adequate enough, we cannot go forward in a relatively well mental state, emotional state, or in a joyful state of being. So I appreciate your support and help in joining us, the Wheel of Wellbeing, in this program. I would like you to address and talk about a little bit of what hopefully you're going to be bringing to this group of people who are going to join us on June 27 and 28.
Sure. Yes, as far as balance in one's sexual life, a lot of the imbalance can result from not addressing a contraction, whether that's physiological or emotional, in regards to one's sexuality. It could be something as innocent as someone's self-identity or self-view being off balance or judgmental, or feeling guilt or shame around it, or something, you know, more serious, like an unaddressed trauma. Once all of that is addressed, then I think there are healthy practices to engage in, just like brushing your teeth, where one can generate and cultivate sexual energy and consciously circulate that throughout one's body as a form of health and well-being. And so in my portion of that segment at the Equinox Retreat, I will be facilitating an experience of people getting in touch, dropping into their inner masculine, their inner feminine within their bodies, and also learning how to generate, cultivate, and expand their life force energy throughout their entire bodies for health and well-being.
Oh, that sounds so good. I cannot wait. With your permission, I'm going to give a little bit more information about this opportunity, the workshop. For more information, my dear listeners, you can go to wheelofwellbeing.com/total-balance. I will repeat it. It is Wheel, W-H-E-E-L, of Wellbeing, W-E-L-L-B-E-I-N-G, /total, T-O-T-A-L, -balance, B-A-L-A-N-C-E. And the program is a two-day workshop from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., but don't be scared because a lot of it is fun activities. We have food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner with amazing nutritionists and nutritional understandings. We have different dance, very spiritual dances. We have yoga practices. We have spin, and we have different modalities of exercises along with the seminars like sex and money, communication, and self-worth. So it's an amazingly well-designed program with the help of unbelievable instructors like Rahi and other instructors at Equinox and some of our team at Wheel of Wellbeing, which I truly invite you to come join us, enjoy from these 2 days, and feel the difference. Notice how balance can be changed in 2 days, how your sense of balance can just evolve in a very short period of time, and with what you learn, how you can do this for yourself. Do you agree, Rahi?
Yeah, what I was really impressed at as far as the 2 days is how experiential the 2 days have been designed to give the participants. I mean, people are going to come out of 2 days, and it's not going to be a workshop where you forget about it the next week. They're very practical tools to incorporate into your day-to-day existence to bring greater balance in all these different eight areas of your life.
Which kind of goes back to where we started our conversation about. You were talking about pairing and the mispairing that has happened. So we've been paired with situations that are not effective today. And if we can have that physiological body sensational experience in a new way, in a new pattern, that we are rewiring this system, now the outcome is going to be totally different. So the work that you do is completely aligned with that total balance, and that's why I have such a pleasure, because you understand totally how this balance is important in every aspect of life to change the old patterns that we're wired with to new ones that we need to have, and that only comes through experience. It cannot be a lecture. You cannot be just told. You got to feel that in your body, and your memory senses will bring it back to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit more about your other training or other work that you do. How can people be in touch with you if they need to?
Sure. Are you there?
Yes. Are we waiting for you to say how
great. I'll... Okay. So, people can reach me. I have a website called Somatic Sexual Wholeness. Again, that's somaticsexualwholeness.com. It's a mind-body-spirit experience of sexual health and well-being, which combines the developmental psychology, the hands-on sexological body work, and the awareness to sensations and presence of the spirit that's in the body. When you go to that webpage, there'll be a link to a temporary webpage. I'm currently building out the site so that it can be a resource for people to learn all about how to heal themselves and heal the partners through this very effective sexological release of past emotions from the body. And my contact information can be found there.
Let me ask you a different kind of question. So as a man, how is it for you to be in this field and practice with women in this sexual context? It must be challenging, because I know in my work, my sexuality is totally out of the window, so it just cannot be there. So I'm wondering, how is it for you?
Sure. That's a great question. I think the real power, the potential for having a male facilitator is, again, going back to the corrective repatterning. The clients I have who in the past have had an association that's been negative with masculine energy, either having been violated or their trust breached, now their association with masculine energy gets replaced with a corrective association with a masculine presence that is trustable, that is safe, and that holds a sacred space. So that's a real power, I think, that I can offer as a male facilitator holding that sacred space. The other thing is I do have female clients, female colleagues who also do this kind of work, but it doesn't have that same repairing or replacing corrective associative aspect to it. As for me personally, I was trained in this work back in 2001, but I really had to wait until I was in a place personally where I could hold a space of complete safety and trust. And I think I had to wait until I was well into my 40s before that could happen. It's such a pleasure to hold space. I don't know if, I have no idea if male OBGYNs feel this way, but when there's a client who reveals her soul, and it really is soul work, it really goes so beyond the body. It really becomes about holding a space for the heart to heal and for the soul to really empower itself again.
Well,
so I guess my point is,
if you have any advice, any words for our listeners to bring greater balance and healthy awareness to their sexual lives, to their sexuality.
Sure. I mean, I encourage a number of things for all of my clients. To embody your life force energy, your spiritual energy, which I don't distinguish from your sexual energy. It's all the same to me. I really encourage my clients to engage in activities that deepen their breath and their movement. So it could be dance. For women, a lot of my friends do something called X Factor, which is pole dancing, which is just with women, but it gets them really into their bodies and allows them to express their sensuality. With women, I really encourage jade egg practices. These are practices to strengthen your pelvic bowl or your pelvic floor. You can do Kegel exercises. Essentially, it's exercises that strengthen your PC muscles. What that does for women is it strengthens your orgasmic contractions, allowing the energy to spread throughout your whole body, as well as it gives you just a lot more mobility in lovemaking. For men, it makes men's erections much stronger and their orgasms much more powerful as well. So Kegel exercises, this is something you can do in the car when you're at a red light. It's something you can do in line at the post office. If you just Google Kegel exercises, it's a very, very easy way to generate greater energy, health, and sexual wellness into your body.
Well, that's good advice. I believe that what you suggested is very effective and helpful. And again, I want to thank you for taking your time and doing this. I want to emphasize one more time on the importance of self-care. You know, if we are aware of what's going on in our body, in our mind, in our emotional well-being, and we can do something about it, that is, to me, that's success. Because a lot of people think of success as financial terms, their statures, or, you know, what they can show for. However, in my belief, that success is internal. If you're feeling good enough, if you're feeling that you are adequate enough, balanced enough, and in charge of your life, now you have a potential, you have a power that is beyond anything else that you can imagine. We have that power that's universal, that's godly in each one of us, and by going inside and taking all of those obstacles, all of those hard shells that they have been created around the joy that we're able to overcome that. Do you have any last words for our listeners?
Daniel, I think that really speaks to the art of life and why we're here. It's a journey of self-care and self-loving. And there's so many ways to do it. Certainly self-care of your sexuality, your financial health, your relationships, all of it, but it really starts with filling your own well so it can overflow and nourish the people around you that you love.
Great. Thank you so much. Let me give the address for our Total Balance retreat that Rahi and I will be participating together. That is wheelofwellbeing.com/total-balance, June 27, 28, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. If you have any questions, you can call 310-477-8833. 310-477-8833. Thank you so much, Rai. It's always a pleasure to work with you, and I really appreciate you taking your time and bringing your knowledge to our listeners.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity as well.
God bless. Have a great day, everyone, and hopefully tune in for our next program coming soon.